And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, we broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. This is the place to be. Global Star Radio Network is our flagship network. We're very proud to be a part of that fantastic lineup. That's Global Star Radio Network. Folks, go to HagmanandHagman.com. There you can, you can see all of our broadcasting venues, whether it's Global Star Radio Network, the fine folks there, BTR, YouTube Live, which you may be watching us right now, where you can watch and also have the added benefit of images. And, of course, all of those are available via archive as well. And as I mentioned, HagmanandHagman.com, that's our show website. Folks, we've got two different websites. HagmanandHagman.com is for all things show-related, for news, analysis, information, for show prep. HagmanReport.com. Visit, bookmark both. And of course, I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and my son Joe Hagman. Together, I like this, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. I want to thank Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino. The recent show on, the findings, the artifacts, True Legends, The Unholy Sea, that DVD, that video, and the other video that's coming, that's in progress, in the works. These are huge undertakings that involve travel into South America and other places outside of the United States. And I'm going to tell you the work that's gone into all of this. And again, Steve Quayle and Tim Alberino, if you didn't catch the first hour and the second hour, you've got to go back and listen to those shows. Watch the shows, because there's some images there as well. And it's amazing how the dots are being connected, folks, today. The dots are being connected. And the dots from Genesis 6 authenticating the Bible, the historical account within the Bible, explaining the giants, the little creatures, what was then and what will be coming soon. That's really what this is all about, to prepare us. Now, during this broadcast, we've got kind of a bookend to that, because how are we going to fight on that level? How must we fight, or should we fight on that level? We certainly can be formidable opponents to the evil that will befall us, that will be thrust upon us. I can see that. But we have to, as Russ Dizdar often tells me, we need to get prayed up before we enter into battle. Now, how do we do that? Well, there are prayers that work. And tonight, during this broadcast, the first 2 hours, we've got two great individuals who are going to be talking about specific prayer, power prayers, the power of prayer, prayers that empower you. One of the questions I had, despite my Catholic upbringing as a child into adolescence and into young adulthood, and even adulthood, I suppose, as a Catholic, did not prepare me for what I'm seeing now. And after shedding the bondage, and with all due respect to Catholics, I'm not saying anything about Catholicism, but to really get to the root, to the meat, to the epic core, the epicenter of the battle, you need to focus on what is biblical, because without that, we cannot even begin to believe we are going to win. So that's why tonight is especially important, with our good friends coming on. Sheila Zielinski from The Weekend Vigilante and Carla Buta. I can't wait for that. Now, before we get to them, I just want to mention proudly that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Minuteman Rocket Stove. That's MinutemanStove.com. Folks, if you are in a prepper mindset, as we all should be, round out your preps with this particular cooking device. It is fantastic. If I can use it, now you know me, I like to keep on pavement, with the exception of just a walk in the park perhaps with my dog, but you know I'm not very good in the wilderness, all right? So having said all of that, so the Minuteman Rocket Stove is a requirement here, and it's tested by us. It's, in fact, I even put it on the top of my vehicle, drove off with it unknowingly on the top of my vehicle, and it survived the din and the clamor. The car wasn't too good after that, but folks, MinutemanStove.com, proud to have them as a sponsor. And speaking of sponsorships, speaking of your business, perhaps you're a business out there, a small business, would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks and Pro Flowers and Casper Mattress and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Just very simply go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits, what we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity. Now, with respect to the news, really quickly, there's just so much news going on. It's just incredible out there. It seems as if things are taking place at a breakneck speed. We've got news, so much news from the election hack threat is termed as serious by the FBI, the head of the FBI.
This is a threat that the president, or renegade in chief, not too long ago dismissed as erroneous.
Right.
My own words, not his.
But remember earlier this year, we were talking about this, and throughout this election cycle, it seems like it's forever. I know, I understand your frustration, but when we look at this, we see the potential for all of us, for Americans, being gamed into believing, and not that the threat is not real, but wouldn't this be just the method to impact our elections, to make the elections suspect, and provide a reason perhaps to delay, to somehow mess with the elections? Because our reliance on the electronic voting, which is nothing more than black box voting, and there was a series about black box voting done very well, in fact, before its time, to show you our vulnerabilities and how easy this can happen. But we are being set up, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where, and I don't think anyone out there can accurately or profess to know what the end result is going to be. But folks, this election cycle is in the crosshairs of the globalists. This election in particular is in the crosshairs of the globalists, which makes me believe, regardless of your position on either candidate, regardless of your position and feelings on Donald Trump, it certainly says to me that the globalists have some moves to make before the election. And we're going to be paying very close attention to that. And the other news we will get into at some other point. But folks, please understand that this is critical in terms of the threat that we face in a number of ways. Schedule change for tomorrow. We're going to have a very special guest tomorrow. More on that later. As opposed to Dick Morris, who is going to be on the following week, I believe. We have to check on that. All right. And then on Friday.
That's been scheduled.
Okay. Friday, we're going to have an in-studio guest. It's going to be Jack Cashel with new information about TWA 800 and the relevance to the criminal Clinton cabal. If you heard him in studio last show, well, you're going to want to tune into this show. It's going to be an entirely different show as well. I mean, he's been so gracious to take his time to come into the studio and to give you information, additional information and an update, because subsequent to our program, he has heard from not just members of the audience, but also critical members of the law enforcement community, of the aviation community, of the academia. It's incredible. So we need to keep the pressure on, and we need to keep the pressure on the NTSB as well, because the man who was replaced by Jim Hall, Christopher Hart, is back, of course, in the NTSB, and that man really has the ability, the opportunity perhaps, to make a difference, to exercise his conscience and integrity and character, to show it or to reveal it. We need to keep the pressure on, because once we tug the strings, the little threads of 800, of that incident that happened back in 1996, 20 years ago, last month, once we start tugging those chains, tugging those threads, a lot of other things Clinton cabal related will unravel with that. And again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight, each and every one of you for tuning in and for your support and your prayers, because one last thing before we get into the program tonight. You know, Alex Jones did a video here today, and it's posted. It's linked off of Drudge, actually. I'm not sure if the title is accurately, or if it's really all that appropriate.
It's done to grab the attention of people who wouldn't normally watch an expose, a short expose on the criminal activity of Hillary Clinton.
It's 17 minutes long, but he's not wrong. He's absolutely right in everything that he has supplied. I just want to give, because of my communications, and I'm not going to get into it because I just don't want to. I can't. I don't have the permission. But because of my communications elsewhere, outside of the public venue, the threat right now to those people who are putting pressure on the criminal cabal that is the Clinton crumbling dynasty. The demonic, the witch, Hillary Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak Clinton, of course, is not to be underestimated. The reach, the infiltration. Think back to the 1950s when McCarthy talked about the communist infiltration in the various aspects of the government. Well, she's had essentially two decades to refine that infiltration with both communists and Islamists. And that's what's happening. And those people are lawless, and those people are dangerous. Don't underestimate the danger that is out there. And she top on the list are Alex Jones and his InfoWars, and us in a different genre, coming at this from a Christian angle, evangelical Christians, Christian-based news programming. Whether it be Rick Wiles, us, Steve Quayle, folks, and Hawk, if you know Hawk, his programming. Trust me when I tell you that we are in the crosshairs, and there is blowback. There is blowback from this that is, you just keep everyone, just get, in the words of Russ Dizdar, get prayed up. All right, I'm going to turn it over to, Joe, we've got two special people tonight, the first couple of segments here, first couple of hours, Sheila Zielinski from TheWeekendVigilante.com, she's got a radio show, and also Carla Bruta, the co-author of the new book that we're going to be talking about, but we're going to be talking specifically about how it applies to today's events and things happening today and such. So it's going to be an all-around good show. And then, we have course, both the third hour, Stan Dale.
Yeah, Stan will be with us in hour number three. We have both Sheila and Carla on with us now. Their latest book, Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. I'm going to bring Sheila on, let her introduce Carla, and then introduce the book. Sheila, it's great to have you back on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Doug and Joe. It's great to be back on with you. It's so exciting to finally be here again. And, of course, your listeners, I appreciate everyone tuning in tonight to this program.
Oh, it's great to have you, Sheila. And, of course, Sheila, if you're watching via YouTube, you can see the picture of Steve Quayle, Pastor Langford, Sheila, myself. I don't want to leave anyone out. But anyway, that was, what, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago in Utah. Montana.
Bozeman, Montana, yeah, in 2014.
Yeah, 2014 already. My goodness, I mean, 2014. So, yeah, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Sheila. I mean, let's rock. How's that?
Well, you know, as I was talking to you, you know, you use this term, and I always say this term, Caligula-level craziness, or as our good friend Steve Quayle says, it's circus ridiculous. So we've got these cast of characters, like you mentioned, her mouth, a tongue, and a skirt, with all her trail of dead bodies, saying that, hey, she's going to go after these alternative media people, especially Christian-based shows, these conservative Christian tinfoil hat kooks like Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, Sheila Zelinsky. You mentioned Drudge. Hillary has vowed to shut down our websites. She is vowing to go after us. So, you know, and oddly, it turns out a lot of these guys that we thought were kind of these mavericks in the media, the Mark Levines, the, you know, Ben Shapiro's, the Glenn Beck's. I mean, we are just coming out these shills are in the media. So, but here's the deal. We are in this all-out war, Doug. And, you know, there's never been a time in history when warfare prayer was so urgently needed. And as the end of days fast approach, I mean, look around, people. Never before have we witnessed, really, I don't think, a callous disregard for God and prayer. And so Carla Butot and I, she's a powerful deliverance minister from Texas. I've had her on my show for a few years. And I'll tell you what, this woman, she is a tough little cookie from the Lone Star State. And I'll tell you, when I started listening to some of her shows a few years back, I actually got deliverance from her show. And she's been such a mentor to me. And so Carla and I, as we were having shows, it became very apparent we were getting inundated, and I mean inundated with prayer requests, and it became evident that people need examples of how to pray. Powerful prayers, Doug and Joe, you know, they are so effective, because what does the scripture say? The, you know, effectual prayers of a fervent man is availeth much. So we have superior weaponry, equipment, and power, but sadly, most believers, they're woefully ignorant, and they're living far beneath their birthright, their inheritance. And as we're crashing headlong into the beginnings of what I think is terrible tides of wickedness sweeping this world, these little religious cliches and formulas, they're not going to work when it comes to our enemy. So, you know, because we know we're not fighting flesh and blood. So, you know, I'd really like to, I'm very excited about this book, Power Prayers, subtitled Warfare That Works. This is a compendium. It's like, to me, I call it the ICBM to the kingdom of darkness, because it shows people how to bind the strong man. There is strong men operating over America, the George Soros of the world. So we give people very practical examples on how to do battle and really make a difference. And I'm just so excited, because not only do we have superior weaponry, but guess what? These little, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I hope it's God's will that I'll be healed. And I get my blood boils when I hear that, because, you know, what the enemy has done is he's twisted everything God, all God's principles, all the things that God has made. And it really bothers me. So I said to Carly, you know what? Last year when we were in Texas, I said, we have to give people examples, because I'm getting, I don't have time to respond to hundreds and hundreds of emails on how to do this. And I don't have the time to be praying with every single person. Although everybody's, you know, experiencing this nightmare, the devil is mopping the floor with people. And it was breaking my heart, because it's heartbreaking that we're living beneath what Jesus died to give us, Doug and Joe. And I would really like to welcome Carla Butot on the program with me tonight, the co-author of this incredible book that just was released this week.
Well, thank you, Sheila and Doug and Joe. Thank you for having us on. It's good to be with all of you. And I am as excited as well.
Well, Carla, it's great to have you on. It's nice to meet you, and can't wait to read this book that you and Sheila both wrote, Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. Sheila, I'm going to turn it over to you. Where do you want to start? I know we talked before the show today, and in the description, folks, you can read it there, but there's a very a great couple of sentences written up on the back of the book. You want to start there, Sheila?
If you have that book handy, Doug, I'd love to be free to read it, because one of the things I really want to emphasize for people, I can't get into my email, just so you know. I've been having a lot of technical problems, so I can send emails, but I can't retrieve them. So Carla's computer last week was shut down. It crashed. It was hooped. I guess that's a technical term. I've had 10 days of all-out insanity in my technical equipment, so that's a whole show in itself. But it's vital for us to learn to exercise authority while praying. You know, it's important to note that prayer is when you're addressing God, and spiritual warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. And that's where people are leaving out the part where you're addressing the enemy. So we kind of take the two and combine them into really, again, this compendium where, you know, because the rod of authority, that's something that God said to Moses in Exodus 14:15. Why are you crying out to me, basically? He gave Moses the rod of authority, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. So it's time we started acting like the soldiers of Jesus Christ that we are, instead of these weak and anemic Christians. You know, I know a lot of people that listen to your show, you know, they're going through a lot of stuff here. We're getting the emails on the darkness that is just, it's inundating people, and, you know, they're losing hope. They're getting depressed. They know the system's rigged. So we really feel like, hey, it is time that we stepped into that power and authority, because we have dominion over all the earth. Now, that sounds funny to people, but, you know, we're going to talk about some of these prayers in this book that can really tackle this. And Joe, if you would read the back, because that really does say it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. And folks, this is what the back of the Sheila and Carla's latest book, Power Prayers, says. It says, are you desiring a more powerful and successful prayer life? Would you like to see more results? God intended you to have victory. So why do your prayers seem to go unanswered? Could it be that a key element of praying powerfully is being left out altogether? Discover the astonishing truth the enemy does not want you to know that can make all of the difference.
And amen.
And I know that many Christians wonder why their prayer life isn't as powerful, especially, you know, newer Christians and people who are, you know, going through tough times in their life. You know, they pray for something, whether it's health or financial relief, and it doesn't seem to come right away, and that leads people to question their faith in many aspects. Sheila, what advice would you?
Well, before you answer that, Sheila, I mean, this you're offering this as a blueprint, and people need to understand that, a prayer blueprint, because a lot of people, look, don't underestimate the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that a lot of people are asking, well, how do I pray? And I've asked myself that same question. How do I, to Steve Quayle, how do I pray, Steve? I mean, sir, you pray. I mean, how do I pray? Whether it be, if you want to pray for the nation, you want to pray for, you want to pray against the evil in this country. So this is, I guess I said all that to say this. This is a blueprint for prayer. And for those of you saying, well, I already know, I don't need a book to tell me how to pray. Well, you know, it gives you very specific, well, it's like a playbook for to use against the adversary. So go ahead, Sheila. Didn't mean to interrupt there, but go ahead.
No, that's
I would like to jump in, Sheila, if you don't mind. I have a thought when he was saying that. What God showed me after being a Christian for 20 years, and I knew how to pray, I had a very strong and effective prayer life, but the day Satan showed up at my house and hell entered our house, I found out very quickly that I did not know how to fight the enemy when he showed up. Prayer is very different than warfare. That's really the point of this book. God has said to me that he wants us to move from the place of asking over to the place where victory is. He wants us to go from asking for healing over to the place where healing is. It's a done deal, actually. He shed every drop of his blood that we can walk in the victory, that we can walk in health, that we can walk in peace, joy, all the things that he died for us, and yet many of us, and I was one of those years ago, that fell short when it came to knowing how to fight the enemy. And that is really an area that is almost totally neglected in the church. I don't care what church it is. It's totally neglected to talk about the enemy. You know, they say, well, if you talk about Satan, you're glorifying him. Well, he loves that. Because really, we should be teaching people his tactics, the ways he works, how to recognize whether it's him or God. Because let's face it, if you don't factor in the enemy, then everything is God. And that is almost blasphemous to me, you know, to put the responsibility of something tragic. I'll just give you an example. My mother plays the devil's advocate for me a lot. And she asked me one day, well, don't you believe that God is in control of everything? And I said, Mom, do you believe that God was in control of those planes flying into the Twin Towers? I mean, really, we've got to stop and really give credit or responsibility where responsibility is due.
That's right, Carla. Hold that thought. We're coming up against the break. When we come back, we're going to pick up right where we left off about who's in control and why. We're talking with Sheila Zielinski and Carla, their new book, Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. We'll be right back.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report. This episode, this broadcast, brought to you by Minuteman Rocket Stove, MinutemanStove.com. Visit the site. Guests tonight, guests for the next 2 hours, or until the top of the second hour here, Sheila Zielinski and Carla Butaw, co-authors of Power Prayers, folks. It's a great book, and Carla was talking right before the break, and this is kind of a pet peeve of mine as well, as a Christian, as a man who likes to accept or willingly accepts responsibility for my own actions, is ascribing to God what Satan is doing. And really, that to me is a fallacious argument. It's filled with fallacy, and I find it very interesting that it's often used as the basis for, or by non-believers, by so-called atheists who say, well, if there was a God, he wouldn't allow this to happen, this whatever, you know, fill in the blanks. And
right.
You know, Carla, I mean, to me, when I hear people talking about that, and also the other side of that, refusing to place the blame square on the foot of evil, or refusing to recognize evil as an agenda of a satanic agenda, is not only intellectually dishonest, it's spiritually, it shows, it reeks to me of spiritual bankruptcy, or a very misguided way of handling and talking about the events. So go ahead, Carla. And of course, this is Carla Butaw, co-author of Power Prayers. Go ahead, Carla, pick up where you left off.
Well, when it hit me, like I said, when hell came to my house and I realized I did not know how to fight, I was, of course, in a panic, crying out to God, how is this happening? You know, I'm obedient, I'm devoted, and God had also begun to call me to teach. And that's whenever I really started understanding, because God had to tell me what was going on. But I was crying out to him, why is this happening? How is this happening? I was just like in a state of shock. It's like Satan walked in my house and gave me a sucker punch to the gut, and I was just laying there gasping for breath. And so I was familiar with the story of Moses with his back to the Red Sea. And of course he's freaking out because the people want to kill him because he has delivered them out of slavery now to be killed and taken back by Pharaoh. So he is standing, I can just see him standing up on this rock trying to calm the people down. And he's saying, fear not, today you will see the hand of God and he will this and he will that. And God interrupted him and said, why are you crying out to me? But raise up thy rod. That spoke to me, because what God said to me when I was crying out, basically the same thing in different words, he said, why are you coming to me with this? And I was floored. And who else is there? And he said, did I say to you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed that you would ask me to move your mountain? Well, I had to think about the scripture. No, it says, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. So I had to start learning how to fight the enemy. And it was a process. It didn't happen all at once. But I tell you what, I'm a fast learner. I don't like to fight, but if I'm going to fight, I want to win. And Jesus has already gotten the victory. And so it also says, I started seeing other scriptures that came in agreement with that, like Ephesians 3:20. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But nobody ever says the rest of that. It's according to the power that worketh within you. It says in Luke 10:19, Jesus Christ said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. So why are we not using it? In Genesis 1:26, he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let us give them dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over every creeping thing, and over all the earth. Now, when I'm pretty, my husband calls me gullible, but if you tell me something, I believe it. So when I read the Word of God, it's not hard for me to believe what it says and then do it, because in James it says that if you be a hearer and not a doer, you deceive your own selves. And I don't want to be deceived. That is one of my healthy fears, is deception. And so I made a promise to God years ago that if I saw it in the Word, I wasn't only going to read it and hear it, I was going to do it. And when I started doing that, I started experiencing miracles. And so I am a firm believer that if God's Word says it, he says we have dominion. But you know what? That's why he had to mess up the languages of the people that were building that Tower of Babel or Babel, whatever it is, because God knew that if they put their mind to it, they could do it. Well, you know, we fuss about all this weather control and CERN and all these things, but do you see that the unregenerate man is taking dominion? They take dominion. They have a thought and they do it. So why are we as Christians not combating these things with the power that God has given us instead of fearing it or whatever? And earlier you said, how are we going to combat these things? Well, God has given us tools. He's given us angels. He's given us binding and loosing. He's given us dominion. He's given us the name of Jesus. He's given us discerning of spirits and words of knowledge. Those are the ways we are going to stay a step ahead of the enemy. I used to live my life on the defense. When Satan would come, I would start crying out to God, and he would always deliver me out of whatever trouble I was in. But I would rather be on the offense, where I am going to his camp first thing in the morning and putting him, as I put it, like tying a bad dog in the neighborhood to a tree so that he can't be messing with my business, because he's messed with my business for far too long.
Well, and Carla, if someone tried to recruit you into a witch coven, they'd be teaching you your powers all day long. But why have we not taught that in the church? And that's the part about exercising dominion. And like Carla said, we're not going to rock God's world. He says exceedingly abundantly all more than you think. So we're not going to rock God's world if we pray something that is, you know, maybe we don't know how to pray exactly, but it's praying from your heart. And I mean, all these guys in Texas, you know, we've got constitutional states where guys go, hey, you just come, well, you'd know this, Carla, living in the Lone Star State. These guys say, well, you just come and try and take our guns, you know, come and get them. Why don't we apply that, Doug and Joe, that same attitude? Because we have more spiritual weapon. Why don't we say to the devil, you just come and try it, devil. You just come and try and see what happens. The devil is mopping the floor up with people, and that is not the way we're supposed to be living. The world's in a mess. People's lives are crumbling. They're unemployed. I mean, look at America, the unemployment statistics. Look at this welfare state. So there is a fix. Because guess what? We're not in this kingdom. There's principles that we live by, kingdom principles, Doug and Joe.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, I used to worry in my early Christian days about, am I praying right? Is this wrong for me to pray? Until God made it perfectly clear to me. I live my life by three sets of scriptures, basically. If these are the only scriptures I ever knew, I'd be doing good. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, not just when you're in trouble, not just when you have a need, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The next set is Matthew 6, 25 through 33. It's too long for me to read, but basically it's talking about, you'll remember it. It says, be anxious for nothing. Look at the flowers of the field. The birds, they don't toil. They don't, work. And yet God takes care of them. He clothes the fields, which is greater than even Solomon was clothed. So why do you worry? Don't worry about what you're going to put on your back, what you're going to eat, where you're going to lay your head. For God knows that you have need of all these things. And then it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, what we do, we worry about all these things. And I taught my son that really Matthew 6:33 is the hub of the wheel of life. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then that woman you're looking for, God will add her to you. That house that you're worrying about paying for, it will be added to you. All of these things in life that we worry about and work so hard toward would be added to us if we would just seek the most important thing. And then the other is Philippians. Well, back to my son. I told him, I said, you know what, Wade? When you worry, you are trespassing on God's property, because the future belongs to him. All we have is today. That's it. You take care of today, and tomorrow, it'll be today. So you've got to stop trespassing on God's property. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is the third set of scriptures, and it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we are not to be anxious, but to make our request known to God. So if we can make our request known, how can you pray in error? And James says, if you ask and you don't get it, it's because you've prayed amiss. Well, big deal. But people are afraid to pray, and they're afraid to make their requests known. And I'm going to tell you why. So many scriptures in the Word of God have been misused by charlatans that it makes true Christians afraid to use those scriptures the way God intended for us to use them, because they're afraid they're going to be labeled like one of those other people. Here is an example. Calling those things that are not as though they were. That is in Romans chapter 4. And he's talking to Abraham. When he changed his name to Abraham, Abraham had to start calling himself a father of many nations when he didn't even have a son. Now, that sounded ridiculous to people, I'm sure. But he was calling that he made Abraham call those things that were not as though they were. That was God's idea, not some big evangelist. No, that was God's word, his idea. And Satan has caused us to be afraid to even use the principles that he has given us to be successful because it's been misused.
Very interesting.
Very well said. It's and folks, our guest tonight, Sheila Zielinski, Weekend Vigilante. Folks, visit her website. It's linked off of Hagman and Hagman. And, of course, her co-author, Carla Buta. Their book, Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. And, you know, in going through this book, you've got numerous prayers for a specific purpose. And, mm-hmm. and you know, when I first saw this, I thought, wait a minute, why would I need something like this? I've got the Bible. You know, if I want to pray, I've got the Bible. But then I realized, and again, like I said before, you know, praying with specificity and focus, I think, is what a lot of people miss. And then you had mentioned something else, Carla, kind of going in different directions here as well. You had mentioned something else where there are charlatans out there who will use and misuse, perhaps more appropriately, Scripture. And impose that misuse onto other Christians, even in a public setting, in a public venue. And I'm seeing this happen more and more. And I'm seeing this warfare break out within the Christian community, within Christianity in general. And it's very disconcerting, but I don't want to go off on that rabbit trail necessarily, but just the simple things too, folks, just the simple things. And Steve mentioned this last night. I think he did. Yeah, I'm sure he did. Praying over meals. Didn't Steve mention that last night? Praying over meals, or maybe it was last week, one of the guests last week. It's a simple thing like that. So the food nourishes your body. Folks, I mean, think about this. And when's the last time? Let's be honest with one another, folks. You and I, it's just you and I talking here. When's the last time that you actually, in a restaurant, actually verbally prayed over your food? I mean, seriously. Well,
and Doug, if I can just put this in there, that's sure. We actually have a prayer over our meals. And here's the thing. We ought to be neutralizing also things in our food. Look at the GMO nightmare that's coming against us. Look at all the chemtrails. I mean, people phone me all the time. Sheila, the chemtrails, have you gone after the government? Yeah, I've been doing that for 7 years. But here's the deal. We can actually speak neutralization to those aluminum, barium, I mean, God knows what's in them. But all this stuff, I mean, whether it's HARP or geoengineering, chemtrails, we're getting bathed in a toxic soup of all this smart grid. So why are we not coming against this? We have the power and authority that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we're living woefully below our inheritance. If someone told you tomorrow, Doug, you got an inheritance, you'd be at that lawyer's office in a heartbeat, and so would everyone. So why are we living below our privilege? Why are we living below our inheritance? Jesus, as Carla said, he shed every drop of his blood so we didn't have to be, you know, I mean, there's so many people out there. Sheila, I've got diabetes. I've got all these, this litany of health issues. We've got a healing prayer that's powerful. We're teaching people how to exercise their authority the proper way. And it's just samples so that we get that we're not covering, we have 40 prayers in this book, but we get that we're not covering every single prayer for every single thing, but it gives people the confidence and the kind of an idea, a sample in practical terms, how to say, okay, you know what? I get this. And then they get confidence because here's the deal, Doug and Joe, Christians haven't been taught this. That's what's a problem to me. And I'm excited about what God's going to do with this book, the testimonies. Carla, share with Doug and Joe in the audience the powerful testimony just of one guy. Listen to a show we just were talking about. For example, this thing, speaking of unscrupulous charlatans, Howdy Doodies and Houston and all these guys out there that turn God into, as Pastor Langford said, God is not your bellhop. He's not a skybound, wish-granting genie bestowing cash and cars on his followers. Does he want you to be blessed? Yes, he does. But, you know, this is the thing. People are so busy listening to all these telepickpocketists and these unscrupulous charlatans that they never really kind of, they just get turned off. I don't want to talk about money. Don't want to talk about prosperity. And Christians, trust me, I get the emails. Oh, I'd love to sow into your ministry, Sheila, but I'm broke. Well, that's a theme of the century. So here's the deal. Why are we living beneath what Jesus died to give us? Carla, talk about that testimony. That's powerful.
Okay. There was, at one time, my husband and I were so financially devastated. I mean, the devil was threatening us to lose everything that we had, and it could have happened had I not learned how to fight. But I was crying out to God, of course, because we were tithers, and the Word says in Malachi chapter 3 that when you tithe, the devourer is rebuked for your sake. And then it says, all the things that will be good for you. Okay, well, nothing was going good for us. So I am asking God about this scripture. Now, we are tithers, and you say the devourer will be rebuked, but I feel like we are being eaten alive here, you know? And then I was at this camp, and we're singing this song, and it's called I Went to the Enemy's Camp and Took Back What He Stole from Me. Are you familiar with that song?
No.
Okay, well, I'm not a singer, but I'm going to sing a little bit of it so you'll know what I'm talking about. It goes like this. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Now, okay, Christians love singing this song. But I stopped right in the middle of that song, and I said to God, Lord, who do I know that has actually gone to the enemy's camp and took back what the devil stole from them? I don't know one soul that's ever gotten back what the devil stole from them. Is there really an enemy's camp? And if there is, how do we get there? And how do we get our stuff back? Because my husband and I had been sorely stolen from. Okay, so one day I'm walking around my house praying, and I had an open vision. There were these big windows across, I mean, a vision is not limited to your house. So there were these huge windows and shutters, but they were wide open. And blessings were being poured out from heaven upon God's people. But Satan had appointed these big demons to be right under the windows. And they were funneling all of the blessings that belonged to God's people over just below and to the left of these windows of blessings. And it was all in this big fenced-in area, like you see these wrecked car junkyards. It was like that, but it was blessings, not garbage. And Satan was leaning against the gate with a toothpick, picking his teeth and laughing us to scorn because we don't know what to do about it. Well, when I saw that, I got mad, and I just pointed to that camp, and I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I command you right now to loose everything that you have stolen from us, and I send out the harvesting angels to get it and to bring it in to the household of Butod. Well, I'm going to tell you the most amazing things begin to happen. And I commanded those angels to move out of the way so that all of God's people could receive the blessings that belong to them. But see, and also based on the scripture, James chapter 5 verse 4 says, for the wages of the hire which were kept back by you, by fraud are crying out, and the cries of the people have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. So what we have to do, those things that belong to us are crying. They have a voice. You know, Cain killed Abel. Abel's blood had a voice, did it not? It was crying out to God from the ground. It says that if we don't worship God, the rocks will worship him. The trees have hands that clap. But it has a voice. These things that belong to us are crying out our names. And when I heard that, I saw like me getting separated from my child in a department store. And the child is crying, Mommy, Mommy. And Mommy's crying out the name of the child. And those cries bring those two together. So when you start crying out for the things that Satan has stolen from you and you bind him, and the word says when the thief is discovered, he must repay double. Remember, Job was restored double. So I added that. And Satan, you're the thief. You've been discovered. Now I'm calling in the double of everything that you've stolen from us. And it was just amazing. Okay, so I gave this testimony on Sheila's show. And a man from Sacramento, California, wrote me and sent me a $100 check and said that that had changed his financial world. It had transformed his finances when he started doing that principle. And he sends me $100 a month just because of that. And it has power. And you know what? If we don't start addressing the enemy, and see, this book is called Power Prayers, and they are prayers, but they are declarations against and taking authority toward the devil and speaking to him. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You know, a sickness, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty in the scripture, many times before Jesus healed people, he would cast a demon out of a person, and then they would get healed. But nobody wants to talk about demons. Therefore, you know, we pray for them to get well instead of binding the spirit of infirmity like he did in the woman that couldn't stand up. It said she had a spirit of infirmity. He said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He got rid of the spirit first. Then he laid hands on her and she was made straight. The deaf and dumb boy, you foul deaf and dumb spirit, Jesus cast it out of him, and then he could hear and speak. But the church does not want to talk about demons. It's a dirty business, I guess. I don't know why. But listen, about 5 years ago, the Lord told me that the warfare between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light is intensifying. And we're going to be seeing things we've never seen before, and we're going to start hearing about things we've never heard about before. And here we are walking the earth. We are vessels of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we do not use the power. I mean, he came here and demonstrated the kingdom of God to the disciples, and they got some of it, but they didn't get all of it. And it's the same today. We have a measure of understanding, but we don't have the fullness. When the Israelite, when the Hebrews came out of Egypt, they went right up to the promised land, but they didn't enter in. They didn't get to enjoy the fullness of the promised land because, first of all, it says they did not, it was unbelief. Now, in the New Testament day, Jesus Christ was sent to bring us out of the kingdom of darkness, and we've come out of the kingdom of darkness up to the cross of Calvary, and we've pitched our tents and started having church, and we're no different than the Hebrews. We have not entered in to the fullness of the kingdom of God right here, right
Amen,
now.
Carla. Carla, we are up against a hard break. Stay right there where you're at. Words of wisdom. Folks, pay attention because this is really important stuff. Folks, we're right back. Stay right where you're at.